Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Deadwood Brothel Museum opened recently, and our friends at 605 Magazine write about their visit in the October issue, which is themed the history issue. We welcome back today Alana Snyder, publisher of 605 Magazine, and John Snyder, director of sales and marketing at 605. Alana, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Oh, my voice got a little scratchy there.
Just ready for radio today. That's it.
Exactly.
Hey, John. Welcome back.
Hey, thank you.
All right, let's dive into the pages of 605 Magazine. I'm looking at the digital issue, the digital copy online. So, Alana, this Deadwood Brothel Museum, a lot of history here and a lot of complicated history in this place as well. Tell us a little bit about your visit there.
Yeah, it was awesome. So this is a brand new attraction from Deadwood history, and it opened in August, and it's called the Brothel Deadwood, and it is the actual like original Shasta rooms, is I think what they were called in that particular brothel, and it's right next door to where Pam's Purple Door was. But you can actually tour the different rooms, and it takes you to the different eras of prostitution, including also like the money room where they collect the money, and you see kind of how they would put their, where they would put the dollar bills for the madam. You see the madam's room. And then they also have a room that kind of shows what the prostitute's apartment or like home might be, to show, you know, the humanization of it, to see like, you know, there's like a photo of her like child, like that she was just someone working out there trying to make a living in Deadwood back all the way from the 1800s to the 1980s when they were raided, which is, some people don't realize that it was still happening until 1980.
Right. What did you learn about the, you know, so much of what the museum is trying to accomplish is beyond the salacious sort of, jokes that you might have in Deadwood and such about the brothels. They're trying to show you a multifaceted, you know, historical interpretation at this point. What were your impressions as you sort of traveled to see how that attempt is being made, and was it successful?
Yeah, it was just kind of moving because the different rooms, like I was saying, like when they gave us the tour, they were showing the different things that these women went through. So, I mean, it showed some of like the drugs that they were dealing with. It showed the different ways that they were like they have, like we saw the Peter Pan dish, which is where they would like wash either themselves
yeah.
or the person they were with. I mean, it was like, but I mean, like you would go through each room, and I'm telling you, these women from Deadwood history get super into it. So we were just loving asking them questions. And at the end of the tour, like there's like a bed where you can actually like pose as a group or individually for like a picture. And it was really cool. And then they also have an interview room where they have a documentary playing with people from Deadwood. You know, some people were actually cleaning people who cleaned these rooms back in the 80s or in 70s. So it's really neat to kind of see.
It was a really comprehensive look.
Yeah, because it's a complicated history to try to tell. You know, there's lots of layers to it, and people are going to come through a space like that in a variety of different, you know, frames of mind, right? So
right,
that's
right.
Another thing that as a historical interpretation you have to sort of be considering. And you went to other places in Deadwood, including this bed and breakfast. Tell me a little bit about the 1899 Inn.
Yeah, so I was not aware of this, but I actually, this is one of those cool things about working with 605, is I was shooting Tom Griffith, who is an author, and he has this historical book that we were featuring for 605 Profile. And so when we went to go take his headshot, he's like, oh, well, we run the 1899 Inn if you want to swing by for my headshot. And I was like, hold up, what? And so we started talking about that. And it's this really awesome home that's historical, that's actually like going up the hill to where Wild Bill is buried and all of that. And it's just this really neat place that there's like, I think 5 to 7 rooms that have different themes, like the music room, and like they have the claw bathtubs. And then, you know, it's a traditional bed and breakfast, so they make you food in the morning. And I think that she makes like this homemade sourdough bread for you. So I wanted to stay there and not leave. But it's so cool. And like they have the old light fixtures. It was really, really cool. I want to go back and definitely stay as a guest.
Yeah, and this is the kind of thing that Deadwood really needs to continue to do, which is lean into the history and really just own it. And this is really encouraging to kind of see this kind of stuff come up, you know, just randomly.
Yeah, two writers and a phenomenal breakfast, and then kind of a history tour. I guess during breakfast gatherings, there might be a few history lessons and some tour guide kind of information as well. Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. So it's Tom and Nyla, and they're both the nicest people. And, like, yeah, they're both authors, and they know mm-hmm. so much. Like, I believe, what was it? His foreword for one of his books was written by, was it one of the presidents? I think it was Reagan. So, I mean, he's been around. He knows his stuff. And so he actually just released Black Hills Myths and Legends that you can get on Amazon and other websites. But yeah, these guys know their stuff. They're obsessed with the Black Hills. That's why they actually just purchased this about a year or two ago from his son, because they wanted to bring their roots back to the Black Hills. So, yeah, definitely you could spend a whole night talking to those guys if you choose to do that, or for sure in the morning when you have breakfast with them.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about the house, this sort of Queen Anne-style house and the history, because this kind of historic preservation is not does not happen accidentally. It takes a lot of work.
Yeah, so this was actually built in 1884, and it has a whole history of, you can learn, too. Their website is fantastic, but it talks about, it's H.B. Wardman, built this home for his family of four, but then when they finished it, it's been around for 121 years, and like I said, there's up to like seven bedrooms. It's crazy. And then they have a huge dining room, and they have a bunch of furniture that's actually historically accurate as well, that they've collected from different stories and reasons. So, yeah, it's just a really cool place to hang out. There's a maid's room. They have that back entrance that servants would walk up. It's awesome.
Yeah. All right, what else? Anything else in Deadwood? Gem Steakhouse and Saloon. Let's talk about that.
Ooh, that was a good night for us and our stomachs. They took great care of us. That was, if you haven't been upstairs to the Gem Steakhouse, it's kind of a little hidden. You have to kind of go into the gaming room, and you go up the elevator, and you come out, and it's just like an oasis of delicious meats and drinks.
Yeah, it's in Mineral Palace, and it's in the original, but that's the original location of the Gem, which is famous from HBO's Deadwood. But definitely is an amazing steakhouse. You don't have to be dressed up. You could get dressed up. And we definitely had, like, all the meat sweats, because they have – it's pretty much like, you know, some people come to South Dakota just for the meat, and they did not disappoint. We had, you know, like 3 to 4 different types of meat. They also have, you know, other things like fish and things like that. But it was so cool. Like, they have awesome cocktails. They have this balcony that looks right on Main Street and actually looks across the street at the brothel. So – you can go right from the brothel Deadwood to the Gem. So, but it was delicious.
Yeah, they make a nice smoky old fashioned. I was just saying that's always something that I look for on a menu, and they delivered.
You look for what?
Smoky old fashioned, where they char the wood with a little blowtorch, and then they put the glass on top of it. Yeah, you know.
Okay. Sure. Oh, fancy. They do that in front of you? Is that something that part of the experience is to sort of see that happen, or is that a back of the bar kind of thing and you can just taste the woodsiness in your
drink?
There's
actually a photo that we put a full page image there of their one of their lead bartenders, Jess, and she's doing the flames are kind of kicking up. It's a little like flair showmanship. It was just a nice touch.
Yeah. When were you out in Deadwood doing, you know, gathering these stories? Is it what month?
Oh, gosh. I believe it was, September. We went to and from the Deadwood area a couple times.
Yeah. So during the pandemic. So tell me a little bit about sort of navigating this, tourist destination, dinner destination for residents and, visitors alike during this particular time. What was it like out there? A lot of people? Small crowds? What were you seeing?
There were good crowds. There were people seemed to be pretty respectful of each other's space, which was, it's an opportunity for, I think the good thing we're coming out of this is that people are being a lot more careful of each other's space and thoughtful, and you do see a lot of that out there. you know, there's opportunities where people are holding doors just to let other people get through and kind of move on their way. And, you know, there were some people with masks, there were some people without masks, and the restaurant did a really good job at making sure that there was space for everyone. We never felt overwhelmed with anything.
Yeah. But also, I will tell you that it does help that, you know, Deadwood has the history of bandanas. So, you know, Wild Bill and those guys still had their bandanas covering their face, but they were on trend still. So it didn't really, you know, stand out.
Just bring your banditry to Deadwood and you'll fit right in.
Yeah, just get into it, you know, go with the old west.
Tell us a little bit, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio, and we're talking to John and Alana Snyder there with 605 Magazine. The October issue is on the stands now, and you can find digital copies of it online. And you also did some visiting in Brookings. Tell me a little bit about the pheasant.
Matt, I did not get to go on this trip.
Yeah, no, I did not go. It was the... not that it was the best that he wasn't there. It was the best day because it was like, I've never been to Pheasant. I've heard about it. People are like, it's like the oldest restaurant in Brookings. You have to go. And I kind of imagined like a bar and grill in my head. And it was like completely the opposite. But yeah, it was built in 1949. Now the grandson is the executive chef and the manager. And Trevor is the like head of the artisan cocktails and artisan ice cream. They made a point for me to know that. So he makes homemade ice cream that he uses, and it's amazing. But the newest owners have been the owner since 1966, and I mean it's nuts. Like they have this full menu that includes they have some Native American inspired cuisine. They have a lot of Norwegian influence in some of their dishes. Including they have waffle weekends, which I want to go back for just for that. And they have a ton of different waffles, including, let me see if I can find it. I mean, they have like the Nutella waffles, but they have the Scandi, which is a tangy option, and it had lemon-infused sour cream, a Norwegian cheese, and lingonberry preserves. It was like just full of flavor, and it was insane. And then they also have, like, the favorites. You know, they have, like, innovative stuff like smoked tots and stuff like that. But then they have, like, the diner favorites that everyone remembers them from. But then they have, like, herbs that they pick right from their patio for their drinks and for some of their dishes. It's really, really impressive. And they have, like, an oil and vinegar bar. I could talk about the pheasant forever. I want to go back for, like, every meal.
And it means a lot to the community as well. That's not only is it, innovative and sort of cuisine-forward stuff happening, but there's a lot of history there. Let's talk a little bit about that and, you know, with this being the history issue of the magazine and the history you found in Deadwood and then the sort of unexpected history of a restaurant and lounge in Brookings where there's a lot happening beyond just what's new on the menu.
Right. It was really cool. Like one of the menu items that I thought was really neat, speaking of history, especially in South Dakota, was they had the pheasant salad lettuce wraps, and it was a nod to the pheasant sandwich that they served in Aberdeen to the war people that were coming through, to the troops, right. And they had this really fresh new version of it, but it was just kind of, it was really neat to see their version of that, and it was awesome seeing that they're trying and doing really cool new modern things, but like you said, like, I love that they keep the main items that they were known for back in, like, the 40s and 50s to like, you know, make sure that they're respecting the history, and it was just, it was neat to see them, like, you know, like keep things historically accurate inside and on the menu, but that they also are trying to make it their own version of the pheasant as like the ownership and vision changes. So
John and Alana Snyder with 605 Magazine, the October issue is on stands now. Thank you so much for being here with us. We'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you for having us.